I wanted to speak tonight about that which we began a week ago with St. Talamot of Livrocha. Why it comes at this time of the year and the implications of it being a sometime thing, something that we don't do all the time. No, we'll see where we go from that. So we know in Eretz Yisrael they started on Zayin Cheshbon. The Gemara says the reason they really didn't start immediately after Sukkot is because they wanted to give 2 weeks for the people of the Oiler Golem to get home before it would rain. So they didn't begin the tefillas for rain until the Oiler Golem arrived home. In Bavel, they started 60 days after the fall equinox. But we have the differences between the Julian and the Gregorian calendar. That's why it should have been November 23rd, but 11 days difference, it got to move to December 4th. And we never changed it back. We left it. We followed whatever our calendar happened. We followed that particular system. We left it where it was. Kosov, Kosov, it's not like a chag that has to be on that day. It's an approximation. Oh, now, why do we start when we start in December? And it's only started Zayin Cheshbon. So we find in the Gemara there's a machlokes. I shouldn't say machlokes. There are two views. In Eretz Yisrael, they started in Zayin Cheshbon. In Babel, Iraq, they started 60 days after the equinox. What was the reason? As far as best we could tell, I presume the reason is Eretz Yisrael is not in a great river valley of the world, so it needs water to get the agriculture going. And Babel lies in the midst of two of the greatest rivers in the world, the Tigris and the Euphrates. Well, the water is not such an issue there. So they could wait a significant amount of time for it to start to rain. So now why do we in Chutz La'aretz start 60 days after the equinox? So we find in the Rishonim that in general, when there's a machlokes between Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and Chachmei Bavel, the people in Eretz Yisrael follow Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, and we in Chutz La'aretz follow Chachmei Bavel. So we're following Chachmei Bavel. The only problem is that there's no machlokes. If we took the Chachamim of Babel and we brought them to Eretz Yisrael, they would have started in Zayin Cheshbon. When we took the Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael and brought them to Babel, they would have said to start 60 days after the equinox. Because it reflected circumstances, local circumstances. That's not a machlokes. It's just, there's a different metzias in each place. And according to the metzias of each place, you have to paskin according to that metzias. So what does this have to do with a machlokes, the typical machlokes in Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and Chachmei Bavel, when they're not arguing at all? Each one just assessed what was necessary in their place, in his place, and came to the conclusion which was appropriate with that. This question we do not have an answer to. It's an open question. It dates all the way back to the Rishonim, really. And we have no answer to the question. We don't know why, on what basis we established this minhag. The sole reason that we must follow in this fashion is because it's the minhag. It's the Maseiros. That's it. If we don't understand why we have this Maseiros, and if it were up to us to decide, we wouldn't paskin this way, but that's the way it is. That's all we could say. Now, the fact that we do it some of the year and not some of the other time in the year, that we don't do it, we have in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, we have a machlokes between the Rif and the Bali HaTosfos. What happens if I'm davening mincha this past Sunday night, second day of Rosh Chodesh, and I left out Yalav Yovo with mincha? Then I blanked out. I forgot about it. When I came to Davin Marav, which is after Rosh Chodesh. I said, you know, I realized I didn't say Yalav Yovo with Mincha. So what do I do now? Do I say, well, I didn't daven Mincha on Sunday, so I have to do Tashlum and do Tshuva Esrei twice, or not? So this is a famous machloikis between the Rif and the Ralei HaTosfos. So one view says, you didn't daven, you have to daven again. The other view says, well, your problem is you didn't say Yalav Yovo. On Sunday night, you're also not going to say Yalav Yovo, so why bother? So Rab Chaim Brisk defined this machlokes in the following fashion. The failure to include the Yalav Yovo, does that mean is that the equivalent that you didn't daven at all, like you skipped it entire, I left out Ritzay, I missed the bracha. And therefore I'm totally not Yoytzeh, I have to do Tashlumen. Oh no, there's a din of tefillah, and the din of tefillah I fulfilled. There's another halacha that during tefillah we mention the nature of this particular day, if it's a chag, if it's Shabbos, etc. Shchaydish, we mentioned that it's a Shchaydish. It's part of the tefillah. So that's what I did. That din I didn't fulfill. Tefillah I davened already. What I didn't do was to incorporate within tefillah a mention of the nature of the day. And that's the reason I daven a second time normally, so that I should incorporate in tefillah the nature of the day. But other than that, I was yaitzik. It was the first tefillah. Tefillah was absolutely a tefillah. Just didn't do everything that I was supposed to do in tefillah on Rosh Chodesh. So Mameila, if I didn't remember on Rosh Chodesh, and now it's Motzei Rosh Chodesh, so what's the point? I davened. I didn't mention Rosh Chodesh. Well, I'm not going to mention Rosh Chodesh tonight either. If I have to have another tefillah that mentions Rosh Chodesh, it was the first day Rosh Chodesh, and tonight's going to be Rosh Chodesh again, so I'll have a tefillah that mentions Rosh Chodesh. I'll make up for the tefillah with mentioning the nature of the day that I was missing. But if at night is not Rosh Chodesh, so I'm going to have another tefillah which doesn't have Rosh Chodesh in it. Well, I did that already. This is Reb Chaim's famous hesber of this machlokes. Now, all of us would say, left to our own devices, that let's say I left out V'sein Talamot Levrocha Friday afternoon. This Friday afternoon, I forget V'sein Talamot Levrocha. I said V'sein Brocha. And I'm davening Mar Friday night, all of a sudden I realize, hey, I was supposed to do V'sein Talamot Levrocha. I left it out. Now, if we were asked the Shaila, our conclusion would be that we have to daven Tashlumen. I didn't daven Mincha Friday. So I have to do Tashlumen Friday night. That's what we would normally conclude, and we would say it's not really parallel, it would not seem to be parallel, as we'll go into in a moment, the machloik is concerning Rosh Chodesh. Yet there's a Mogen Avram, I was Medayek, I inferred from the Mogen Avram, and when I discussed it with Rabbi Yoshua, that Tzar Rabbi Yoshua was also, to him it was Poshet, there was such a Mogen Avram. The Mogen Avram says that if you don't say Saint Talamot Levrocha Friday afternoon, it's subject to the same machloikis as Baruch Chodesh. So as Rabbi Yosef told me, he says, if any lesser figure than the Mogen Avraham said it, we would dismiss it offhand. But the Mogen Avraham we don't dismiss. It's a tremendous and awesome chiddush, the Mogen Avraham, something that we would never say. But the Mogen Avraham says it's parallel. Now it's hard to see why it's parallel, because Yalav Yovo was mentioning the nature of the day, but otherwise I have all the bakoshes, everything I'm supposed to do in Shmoneh Esrei I did. Here, there's a bakosh I'm supposed to make in Shmoneh Esrei, Baruch Aleinu, B'sein Talamot L'Baruch, and I didn't do it. So it's like I didn't do Baruch Aleinu. I left out a key phrase in Shmoneh Esrei. That's Ma'akav, it is a machloik, it's the Torah and the Groh. The Groh holds that if you did in the middle brachas for sure, Baruch Atah Hashem Chayin Adas. Baruch Atah Hashem Aroitz Avishu. Baruch Atah Hashem Chanan Mavasal. Baruch Atah Hashem Kol Yisrael. We did just the line of the Chasima Yoytz Shmoneh Esrei. That's what the Goyin sheet is. You don't have to do more than that to be Yoytz B'di'evet. Right. Right. That's so. I don't know when the Goyin, maybe Talamot you have to add. I'm not sure, because maybe that's a special edition that you have to add according to the Goyin. I don't know. But other than that, basically, there's nothing in Shmoneh Esrei, basically, only in the Chasimah Sama'akov. The Torah holds that there are key phrases in Shmoneh Esrei that have to be there. If you left them out, even if you did all the chesimus, you're not yoytze. Okay, that's a machleikus. So we would say, listen, Rasein Talamot Levrocha is a key phrase in Shmoneh Esrei. Maybe even the Goyin agrees it's a key phrase. It's of a special bakosha. And you have to make that bakosha. And if you didn't make that bakosha, that's it. You're not yoytze. So how would we compare that to a person that did all the bakoshas, did everything he's supposed to do in Shmoneh Esrei, except he didn't mention the nature of the day? Okay, so you can say the nature of the day is an additional halacha. But this is part of the bakoshas he's supposed to have in Shmoneh Esrei. So in Svara and Lomdis, it would be very hard to equate this with Yalav Yovel. Yet the Mogen Avraham does. So someone will bring a proof to the Mogen Avraham from the fact that what happens if you left out for Saint Talamot Levrocha? Now I'm in the middle of Shiva Shoftena. What do I do? You wait Tishma Koleinu. You put it in Tishma Koleinu. So some say, well, listen, if it's a key part of the Brocha of Baruch Aleinu, when you left it out, so it's like you left out Baruch Aleinu. So what does it help for me to put it in Shma Koleinu? I said Shma Koleinu, and I left out Baruch Aleinu. Would I be Yoyt Shmoneh Esrei? Take all the bakoshas of Baruch Aleinu, put them into Shma Koleinu. Would I be Yoyt Shmoneh Esrei? No. Or any other brocha. I have to say all the brochas. So I left out a brocha. You say, how am I Yoytzi? So it must be that the Mogen Avraham is right, that this is the equivalent, it's an outside halacha, it's the equivalent of Yalav Yovel. That's what some want to tell you. There's a prima godim, however, there was a different explanation for this strange phenomenon that we could make it up in Shema Koleinu. The prima godim says the reason that you could, it's flexible, is since we don't say it the whole year, Chazal didn't give it a fixed place. You have to be mevakish for rain. You could do it in Baruch Aleinu. If you didn't do it in Baruch Aleinu, you could do it in Shema Koleinu. It doesn't have a fixed place. Since it's a floater, half the year you don't say it. So Mamela, they never gave it a fixed place. There are varied options. So Mamela, it's not like a left out with Saint Talu, Mamela comes out. It's not like a got it Baruch Aleinu. No, it doesn't have to be in Baruch Aleinu. It can just as well be in Shema Koleinu. Chazal gave it varied places, you know. A, there's B, there's different places to put it. So now we have a machlekes between them. Now, what happens if I said Baruch Ata Hashem at the end of the bracha, and then I realize I did not recite Saint Tal. So what do I do? So the Chabad Chaim has this phenomenal chiddush. Let's say I left that Masha Baruch Marad Hageshem, and I got a Venema and I told Achias Mesim Baruch Ato Hashem. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, I should say Mechaya Mesim, and then right after Mechaya Mesim, say Masha Baruch Marad Hageshem. But the Chabad Chaim finds this an astounding chiddush, because then the Masha Baruch Marad Hageshem is free floating. It's not part of a bracha really. So the Chofetz Chaim was mechadish, also something very revolutionary, that I should say Baruch Ata Hashem, Lamdeni Chukecho. And then I didn't finish the bracha, then go back and do Masha Baruch, and then B'neman Atolach Yos Baruch Ata Hashem Chayim Eitzem. And this is a controversial chiddush of the Chofetz Chaim. But that's what the Chofetz Chaim paskin. But by Baruch Aleinu, I would not say Lamdeni Chukecho. I would finish Bevorach Hashonim, and I would not say Saint Talamot Levrocha there. I would wait and put it appropriately within the Brocha Shema Koleinu, so it should be part of a Brocha. So I would not apply the Chofetz Chaim's Chiddush to this particular case. That's the Halacha L'Maisa, yeah. That's the Halacha L'Maisa. What? No, you couldn't do that. Now, it would be relevant if you came Baruch Ata Hashem by Shomei HaTefillah, and you realize I left it out in Baruch Aleinu, I left it out in Shema Koleinu, so then you would say Lamdeinu Chukecho according to the Chofetz Chaim, then you say V'sin Talamot L'Vroch, Ki Ata Shomei, Baruch Ata Hashem, Shomei HaTefillah. No, what happens, so if I finish Monesre, I didn't say with Saint Talamot de Rojo, or I go back to go. If I remembered after Shema Koleinu and before Yiyul HaRotzon, so then I have to go back to Baruch Aleinu. I don't have to go back to the beginning of Shema Nesri. Now this halacha plays, the two seasons are different. If in this season, for example, I said the same Baruch Aleinu, and I realized, I didn't say B'Sein Talamot L'Vrocha. I could just say B'Sein Talamot L'Vrocha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Baruch Hashanah. Could do that, and I'd be Yaitse. Why? Because I'm fixing an error of omission. I didn't say anything objectionable in Shmon Esrei. I said B'Sein Brocha. And I'm still going to say B'Sein Talamot L'Vrocha. So I'm still going to say B'Sein Brocha. Asking for a Brocha. So I don't have to remove anything that was inappropriate. I didn't put in something inappropriate into the tefillah. I just, it's an error of omission. I did not put in something I should have put in. But let's say it's in the other way around. In the summer months, and you said B'Sein Talamot L'Vrocha. And you're zooming along. Ooh, wow, wait a second. It's July now. This is not, you know, March. Okay, same bracha. You're not yaitze. You have to go back to Baruch Aleinu again. And if you finish Manasseh, you have to go back to the beginning, because you didn't remove that which you said inappropriately. The only way to remove what you said inappropriately is to start either at the beginning of the bracha or at least a phrase before that section. So you have to redo that whole section, a redo. So that's how you delete. That's the delete button. But if you don't hit the delete button, so then you're stuck. Then you have a Shmon Esrei that has B'Sein Talamot L'Vrocha, B'Sein Brocha, and you're not Yotze in the summertime. This is a halacha which is not well known. I was in Eretz Yisrael, I think about a year and a half ago. It was July, and they were then, for whatever reason, I don't know what possessed the Chazan, but he did Masha Baruch HaMored HaGeshem. And he was going along, and somebody realized, and they told him to go back. So we started Mered HaTol, Chalke Chaim Mechesed. So I objected. I made him stop, and then he went back to the beginning of the Baruch, and then he went on, which is otherwise he wouldn't have been Yetzi. So that's... when you want to, that's how you delete. Delete.
Back to
Melech Ozer Mashiach
again?
No, it has to go back to Gibor. Yeah.
Phrase before the...
But before where you made them, we put in the inappropriate information. Now, it happens to be that the Vilna Goyen holds, in that case, if you said Masha Veruach, you're fried. Since the first three brochas have a din of one brocha, according to the Vilna Goyen, so you destroy this brocha. There's no way to fix it. The only way to fix it is to touch Shmon Esrei again. That's the Goyen Shita. So you have to go back, in that case, to the beginning of Shmon Esrei to fix it. But the Minhag Olam is not like the Gro. The Minhag Olam is like the other Achroinim. I think the Chofetz Chaim holds Mechaim Meisimata is also good enough. Oh, so this is a whole Shiloh. The Rosh, because of what I told you before, the Rosh thinks, and I said the logic, his logic is compelling. No one has laid a finger in 7 centuries on the Rosh's logic here. The Rosh says that in reality, we should still, you know, follow the agriculture. If they need rain in this Medina, we should be saying V'Sein Tal. If they don't, we should be saying V'Sein Brocha. Who cares what Eretz Yisrael was and what Bobel was? You just do what's good for us. That's what we have to be mispalel for. So what comes out is, if you're in a place where an entire Medina needs rain, and in B'Dievet you said V'Sein Tal in the summer, you don't have to go back. That's what comes out. That's one of the things that's very strange. It comes out because in the southern hemisphere, you know, I was in Johannesburg, in July and August, once upon a time. July and August is the winter time. Of one's gesagt, such a winter time, you know, it's very mild. Yeah, it gets a little chilly sometimes, but it's very mild. But so that also, why in the southern hemisphere we don't reverse it. These are all part of the problems raised by the Rosh's Shita.
The Rosh held that, Lamaisa?
We don't know what the Rosh held about the southern hemisphere.
What do they physically do, like in Argentina?
No, they follow, they do the same thing that we do.
Oh, they're saying, okay.
Yeah, yeah, they do the same thing that we do. What?
Even though they don't meet?
Yep. So, if I remember, after Shema Koleinu, and I didn't finish one Esrei yet, I can go back to Baruch Aleinu and start from there, and then go straight. Now, there is an issue, which Be'ez Hashem, that I want to take up on Shabbos. Shabbos morning share this week. That if I omitted the Saint Talamot Lebroch and Shema Koleinu is an appropriate place to do it, then why don't, and now I'm up to Ritzei, I said Ritzei, I'm about to do Moedim, and I realized, so why don't I just go back to Shema Koleinu? What am I adding seven brochas Levatola for? For what reason? Why should I go back to Baruch Aleinu? Okay, so this I want to go into Shabbos morning. I don't want, this is not for tonight's share.
After you go back, I forgot twice.
I left it out in Baruch Aleinu. I left it out in Shema Koleinu. And now I'm up to Moedim, and I realize I left it out. So we paskin, you have to go back to Baruch Aleinu. Why should I go back to Baruch Aleinu? Why don't I go back to Shema Koleinu? If it was good going forward, why is it not good going back? It's a tire.
I say, as far as we said before, that the place for St. Almut Baruch is not necessarily...
Especially in light of that. That's even more. The truth is, according to that, we'll see the way I answer this kasha. The truth is, there'll be a shtick or raya like the modet to the Mogan Avrom, not like the Prima Godim. You know, it'll be a raya that it would, the Prima Godim's answer, the Mogan Avrom's answer, will be a better answer to that problem. That it's similar to the Alav Yovo than the Prima Godim's answer, but that will come to. Be'ez Hashem Shabbos, that's not for now. Tefillah, the essence of tefillah, talked about this many times, based on the Chovos HaLevavos. What's the point of tefillah? What am I daven? What I deserve, I deserve. What I don't deserve, I don't deserve. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is rather well informed. He knows what I need, and he knows what I deserve. So what am I davening for? Right, in this world, you go and you ask people for things for many reasons. First of all, they don't necessarily know what you need. Or if you don't tell them, they won't know. Even if they want to help you, they can't help you. Sometimes they're not so disposed to help you. But you embarrass them into helping you. Your teenagers know how to, kids know how to get under your skin. Until you say, listen, just take this and get out of here. You know, you want to get them out of your hair. It's just more worthwhile to give in than to fight with them. But those things don't work by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He knows what I need. I can't get under his skin and force him. I can't cajole him. So what do I daven? What's the point of davening? So Chovos HaLevavos writes in Shaar HaBitochen, that davening is that we should have the realization of how dependent we are on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And that's why we have varied bakoshes. But we have to be mevakish things which are ultimately relevant. And that's at two different levels. There are things which are universally relevant at all times. at the chinan adam das, a person needs his mind to work appropriately. Rafa'inu, just needs to do tshuva, etc. Baruch aleinu, parnasa, these are things which we have constant needs. So those we address. There are aspects of tefillah which vary. Shabbos, I have a different tefillah, which acknowledges the Kedusha Shabbos. Yontif acknowledges the Kedusha Yontif. So, you say, Baruch Hashem, Yom 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 Aslonu, that each day we should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Me'ein Berchoisa. We should be Mevakish, Me'ein the Brochus that we need. That's to give a relevance to tefillah. It's not just, you know, I need rain in December, and now it's July, I don't need rain, I don't want to see rain, but saying Talamot Luvrochon. It's an empty tefillah. I don't mean it. It's inappropriate.
Does that approach to tefillah mean that a tefillah doesn't really have an effect?
What?
Does that approach to tefillah mean that it doesn't really have an effect?
It hasn't, oh, so why does it have an effect? And no tefillah has an effect. It's a very, very powerful tool. Chazal tell us. Why does it have an effect? The reason it has an effect is because one of the things we're supposed to do in this world as to have bitochen is to feel that everything about us is in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hands. And we need to deepen constantly that hakara, that recognition, to understand it more and more deeply and integrate it more and more emotionally into our being. The more we are about the person is a Baal Bitochen, so the higher is Madrega before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Tefillah is to make me a greater Baal Bitochen. That's the tachlis of tefillah. If I'm a greater Baal Bitochen, then the Rabbeinu Shel Olam may decide I have a different standing now. And I'm worthy of that which I wasn't worthy of before I started to daven. But the Vilna Gaon writes, it's an amazing thing, the Vilna Gaon writes, these are in two places in Mishle. One place in Mishle, he talks about tefillah for material things. He says, tefillah for material things, there's absolutely no guarantee that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will give me what I want. Zehu. Tefillah for ruchnius, if I'm persistent, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will give me that which I ask for. The reason, l'chaira, is what do we say in Birchas Chodesh Chodesh, Yimali Hashem kol mishalos libeinu l'toivu. We wish for a lot of things. But what's good for us? That's a whole different question, what's good for us.
What?
I don't know if you can daven to have his head and learn. You could daven that you should be as matzliach as to the greatest extent that you could be matzliach. And that's your chiyuv, and that the Eibishter will help you do. To be that you should be, a person can grow beyond his capacity. That's also true. They say there were gdolim who grew beyond their capacity. Their amelis and Torah were such that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam brought them to places which normally, according to their abilities, they shouldn't have reached.
By Rosh Chodesh, your tefillahs before Rosh Chodesh, we asked for parnasa.
Nobody said we shouldn't ask. We say every day, we say Baruch Alei Noshem, we're looking at the same brocha. That's a brocha for parnasa. But there's no guarantee that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is going to give us that which we ask for. Why? Who knows what's good for us? Do we know what's good for us? A person doesn't know what's good for him. A person doesn't know. A person thinks if he, you know, as I tell people all the time, my grandfather made one mistake in life. He didn't leave me 5 office buildings in Manhattan. You know? It's a big mistake. But who says owning 5 office buildings in Manhattan would have been good for me? I'd have a very different life than I lead now. And Lefira Isaina, I don't think it would have been good for my ruchnis to own 5 office buildings in Manhattan. So the Rabbanu Shlomo was kind enough that my grandfather didn't leave me 5 office buildings in Manhattan. Ruchnius, on the other hand, is kulo toif. Can't go wrong in Ruchnius. There's a pasuk that we say every single day at the end of Hodu. Harchev picha v'amaleyu. The Rabbanu Shalom says, it's like a mother wants to feed a child. Open wide, and I'll stick a big spoon of food in. The Rabbanu Shalom says, open wide v'amaleyu, and I'll fill it up. So the Gemara Bracha stuff. Nun says, ahuba divrei Torah ksuv. You want Torah? Be mevakish, sincerely. And the Eibush will deliver. He'll deliver. You want it sincerely, and you're persistent, and you feel that Eibush will deliver. It's kulo toif. So there's a difference between the Ruchnius and the Gashmius that one must follow for. The Gashmius, we ask the Rabbanu Shalom, give it to me in such measure, in such fashion, that's good for me. Ruchnius is good for me, so help me to get there. There is a difference in Shmoneh Esrei. There are different parts. There's 3 parts to Shmoneh Esrei. There's the opening part, which we call Shevach, praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bakosh is in the middle. I'm referring to when the end is Hodor, but it's not only Hodor. Ritzei is raising the level of the tefillah as if it were a korban. And then Sim Shalom is its own Bakosh, which is not for now to talk about. But what we're most concerned with in the final 3 brachas is Maidim right now. It's the Haidah. Now, the reason, this is also the Amachloikas in about this, but we paskin that if you left out Masha Baruch Amar Rageshem, you can't make it up. And how come if I left out Masha Baruch Amar Rageshem? I'll also say it in Shema Kolenu. Shema Kolenu is good for everything. So why don't I put it in Shema Kolenu? I'll also say, now listen, the same story to Brima Golems, it doesn't have a fixed place half the year, I don't say it. So I'll say, listen, either we'll do it in Atagibor, and if you didn't, well, Baruch Hashem, there's a big catch-all called Shema Kolenu. Put it in there. Why not? There's some that hold it, you can. There are sheets that hold you could do such a thing. We don't pass in that way. Why? Because the middle section of Shmoneh Esrei is for Bakoshes. It's not for Shevach. So the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei is Shevach, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I can't, if I messed up in Shevach, I can't put Shevach into Bakosha. 2 different things. So that's why once I finished those brachas, there's nothing I could do other than to go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. Because I have no way to make up for it in Shema Kolenu. Okay, any questions about anything we've done until now?
Before why can't it be in that place in Shema Kolenu? Why can't it be before Hodah, just at the very end of the Kashal section? Saying the same Tal? I mean, why is that the special place to do it right before Kiyat HaShemayim?
What, the same Tal?
The same Tal.
Because it's a general Bakasha. But say it's about a year after the Bakasha, the section on Bakasha ended. Shema Kolenu was a general bakasha that you could ask for anything. You're not limited. Each bracha, the bakasha on each bracha is supposed to reflect the general content of that bracha. In other words, in Kavashayv or Godel, or in Baruch Aleinu, you shouldn't be mispalo for Rafua. In Rafainu, you shouldn't be mispalo for Parnosa. Good. No, no, Aleinu, there's a chayli you want to be mispalo for. You mispalo in Rafainu. You need parnasa. Someone else needs parnasa. You must pal and baruch aleinu for them. Shema Kolenu is open ended. It's a catch-all.
Yeah, you mentioned Rosh Chodesh. One other thing that one list we have is Hoshi B'chalor. Does that even seem proper to ask for?
What?
Amongst that long list of things we ask for in Rosh Chodesh, is Hoshi B'chalor. I mean, A, like you said,
It's proper to ask for. If we'll use it in the right way. I'll tell you a story, and this will make the point very well. There was a Sfaradi Shechosin in Eretz Yisrael, and he was involved in an accident. He was hurt in an accident. So he was bringing a lawsuit against the insurance company. He wanted to collect for the accident. So we had a lawyer, and the lawyer told him, you're a chosn, you're supposed to get married. But if you don't put off the wedding, they're going to use that as proof that you weren't hurt, and you won't be able to collect. So you have to postpone the wedding. You are truly hurt, and don't mess up your case. Put off the wedding. That'll be the raya that you were hurt. So he went to Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Zechon al-Brocha, and Rav Shimshon Pinkus told him, can't put off a wedding for money. It's this thing. They're not allowed to change the date of a wedding, and that's it. They have to get married on that day. So this father, Shechosin, didn't know what he's supposed to do. His lawyer's telling him one thing, his Rav telling him something else. So he called a meeting of all three of them. They brought the Rav and the lawyer and the Chosin. So the end of the meeting, the Rav held what he held, and the lawyer held what he held, and the Chosin was in a quandary. So they didn't know what to do. So they decided they're going to go ask Rav Shach. And Rav Shach should be Machriya, who's right? So the three of them, they march up, they go up to Rav Shach, and if the lawyer came, whatever. Rav Shimshon Pinkus came, and the Chosin, I don't know if the letter, I don't remember if the lawyer was there. And they asked Rav Shach what they should do. So Rav Shach listens, and he hears they finish talking, and Rav Shach just sits there, doesn't say a word. Not a word. So they're sitting, and the clock is ticking by. And they got the message of Shach has no intention of giving them an answer. But they said thank you, they stood up, and they went out. So after they went out, so the Chosin went running back into Rav Shach, and he says, Rebbe, I still have to know what to do. What should I do? You know? So Rav Shach looks at him and says, I don't understand you. He says, how in the world do you think you put off a wedding for money? So the Chosin says, if it's so poshut, then why didn't you answer us while we were sitting here? He says, I wanted to teach the Rav that came with you a lesson, that money is also a cheshbon. Oishev HaChavod can do phenomenal things. Right? What happens in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha? The Rabbeinu Shalom promises three brachas to Avraham Avinu that he won't have in Chutz La'aretz. I'll have a child. Okay, so that I understand. That's a bracha. Listen, you tell you have a child in Australia, you move to Australia. That's fine. But what else did the Abish have told him? He'll make him wealthy. And your name will be up in lights. They'll know you from one end of the world to the other. That's Avraham Avinu's concern. He has to be wealthy. Avraham Avinu needs to have his name in lights. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ran says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avraham Avinu was, you have a quest in life to be Mefarsim Malakus. They teach the world about monotheism. You're going to succeed in Eretz Yisrael. Why are you going to succeed? Because you're going to have a child that's going to carry on after you. You're going to be a very high profile person. Whatever you say, whatever you do, wherever you go, the world is going to take note of you. You're not going to be ignored. So when you talk about your philosophy, the world is going to hear what you have to say. And then finally, how did Avraham Avinu, how did he run his business? He was the world's biggest Hachnosas Orchim. So it cost a lot of money to run a Hachnosas Orchim like that. Right? Three little Arabs came and wanted to give me shechts an animal for each of them. Could you imagine what the bill for this Hachnosas Orchim was? So to run such a Hachnosas Orchim, you need a lot of guilt. So when we ask the Eibishter for Oishev HaKavod, means Oishev HaKavod to use for the right reasons. A person of prestige and a person of wealth can do a lot of things that nobody else could do. No one else in the world could do. Amos Bunim, Olav HaShalom, he was the one before the Six-Day War, during the Net Kufa, before the Six-Day War, in the years before the Six-Day War, that procured armaments for Eretz Yisrael that nobody else could do. They couldn't get, they couldn't unlock the flow of weapons from America. He was friends. Why was he friends with? He was a wealthy and powerful man. So he was friends with John Smathers, the senator from Florida. And he asked John Smathers to do his bidding for him with the White House, with Johnson. And he succeeded. But you and I could not play in that league. It's a league for a very wealthy man and a very powerful man and a very prestigious man. So such a person could be hobnobbing with senators. And when it came to do for Medinas Yisrael to save them from the Arabs, he was the one that said he saved them. And it's the same person when it came to building yeshivas in America. He was a big player in building yeshivas in America too, because the Yaroisha recovered. Should I ask, go back when there were those, it's all story how it was, but money went from the Zionist Federation because of Zev Wolfson, through Zev Wolfson's hands, and it was used to support a lot of yeshivas in America. And there were members, Zionists in Milwaukee, that were up in arms that this money was going to the yeshiva. So Amos Bunim came to speak to Chanukas Abayas, and basically he told over the story of what he had done in the 1960s. He was a modest man, he did not talk about himself. But basically what he told them was, you guys think you're a Zionist. You think so. But you have a lot of catching up to do. You know, what I've done, I speak for the yeshiva today, but what I've done for Medina Yisrael, none of you have done. So Oysher recovered as a very, very big place, if used in the right way. So Be'ez Hashem, Shabbos will take up St. Talamot al-Ruch. Now, just ending in this point of tefillah, that's why we have a kind of Tzoron tefillah. In this two blot or so of tefillahs that the Amoraim recited at the end of their private Shemon Esrei. Because the ultimate in tefillah is what really concerns me, and I should ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for it. So each one had his own private tefillahs, besides all the things that everybody asks, the things to which in his life were burning issues. Right? The tefillah that we use, that we Ashkenazim, the Sfaradim don't use it, the tefillah that we Ashkenazim use for Rosh Chodesh was the tefillah that Rav recited at the end of davening every day instead of Elokai Netzor. Elokai Netzor is one of those tefillahs, and there are many, many other ones in the Gemara. So the Tzlach says, because each one wanted to daven b'lev with the greatest degree of lev sholem that he could muster. So he addressed the issues, each Amara, which were dearest to his heart, the Endish Monastery. And that's the impact, the feeling, the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by addressing to him the things that are most dear to us. I've got an achter, I believe, sir.